Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. Now, what is the reality? Well, we've lost about 8 million jobs, and most of them are not coming back again. They've been intentionally sent overseas. Our major corporations have been actually encouraged to move overseas. We've given them tax breaks, the access to abundant, cheap labor without all the bureaucracy and harassment they get in this country. We've many times given them guaranteed loans and guarantees that if their property is expropriated, we'll give them back their money they've invested in, perhaps two or three times that, at least according to a congressman I interviewed. Basically, we've done everything we could to encourage our steel industry, our textile industry, our electronic industry, our automobile industry, now our aluminum industry, large segments of our agricultural industry, to move overseas. And we've done this intentionally because we are leaders are globalists. Furthermore, of course, basically the banks are doing what banks always do, and that is after expanding the currency, credit, massively over a period of time, then they begin to contract credit. They just don't loan out. And as a result, why, of course, the businesses can't get financing and go under. They can't get started up. And they create the recession. They're doing it intentionally. I believe Ben Bernanke set up as the fall guy, and he's doing what the central bank would expect to do, and that is he keeps creating more credit and lower the interest rates, and that's not going to solve the problem as long as the banks are withholding money. Bob Chapman, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, you're welcome.
And why? I want you to comment on what I say and explain to our listeners whether you agree or don't agree.
Oh, I certainly agree. It's been going on now for 30 years, and it really started in earnest about a dozen years ago. And they're going to continue to do it as long as they can. And I think the only thing that's probably going to stop it is the control of Congress over imports and exports, which be trade tariffs. And trade tariffs would limit to the extent of exports coming into the country by their cost, and that would form a level playing field, which we haven't had heretofore, really since the 1960s. That's when GATT got formed, and in 1986 it became the World Trade Organization, and that was followed in 1994 by NAFTA, and then later we had CAFTA, all of which have been not only instrumental in costing American jobs, but they've destroyed whole industries in other countries as well with the export from the United States of farm goods, which has put a lot of basically agrarian economies out of business.
Well, now, of course, they're in the process of destroying our agriculture here in California, shut down the Central Valley, supposedly for a three-and-smelt. That's simply a lie. They want to shut it down. They want to shift production of vegetables and certainly in fruits to other countries. And so in the process now, of course, we still have our corn, our wheat and agriculture, but the specialty things, things that really make a lot of money in the Central Valley of California, they've intentionally shut that down. And people think it has to do with the smelt. It has nothing to do with the smelt. When are the American people going to understand that the leaders of our country are globalists? Their loyalty is not to America. They want to transfer our industries, many of them, to overseas, to build up the economy there, to lower, certainly, the economy here, impoverish our people, and bring about true equality, except, of course, for the ruling elite, the new feudal society. Well, Bob, it certainly looks like, at least over in Great Britain, they're beginning to lay off people and beginning to contract the massive spending. Do you think we'll ever do that here at the national or the state level?
Only when we have to. And I think the same thing is true in England and in Europe as well. Sure, they're putting austerity in place, but I think they're going to find that if they continue to do that, they're going to have deflationary depressions. And England and Europe probably will go before the United States will. But they're all going down. You know, they'll inflate. They have to. And so you'll see changes in attitude, just like you've just recently seen with the Federal Reserve in the United States. And they said, well, at least the chairman of the Fed said the other day that he expects that they'll be using quantitative easing and helping to do the kind of things that are necessary to keep the economy going. And so you can expect that they're going to continue pumping money and credit into the system. And we're looking at England and in Europe, and they're saying, well, we're going to try austerity. Well, wait until they find out that the bottom's about to fall out on them. They're going to change their mind real fast.
And, of course, as you keep saying, we're going to have inflation, and then we're going to have hyperinflation, and then we're going to have a massive deflationary depression. It's just going to go that pattern because nobody wants to accept the pain of doing what's necessary and simply cutting back on spending, admitting we're head over heels in debt. There's no way we can pay our debts. Let the whole thing topple and then start to build from a fresh base, which would be the logical thing to do. Instead of that, they're going to just put off the day of reckoning for a matter of some years, as long as they can, simply by pumping money into the system, destroying the value of the currency, and by so doing, why, of course, they'll end up impoverishing most of the people in this country, won't they?
They certainly will. You know, when you have inflationary depression like we have now, and they go ahead and increase the amount of money and credit, we get inflation. And if they do what they did before, increase spending by $2.5 trillion, which includes the stimulus from the government, and then if that doesn't work, they'll try it again. But I think either this time or next time, they're going to...
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bob was just saying that what they're going to do, and Ben Bernanke alluded to this last Friday in his speech, is that they're just going to start pumping out more money to try to get inflation going. Now, why would you want to get inflation? The purpose of the Fed is to give us a stable monetary system. Well, he knows that if he doesn't get inflation going, why, the bottom's going to fall out. We're going to go into a deflationary depression. So he's going to destroy the value of the currency and the life savings of the people to keep from having a depression. But it won't work, and they'll put out a couple of trillion dollars, and it won't work, and then they'll put out another couple of trillion dollars, and it won't work. But then pretty soon nobody's going to lend us any money. Certainly other countries won't lend us money. We're totally dependent upon borrowing from other countries, and they quit lending, and so the interest rates are going to have to go up to get people to lend, and they set off this vicious cycle, and the interest rates go higher and higher, and pretty soon we're paying all the money we take in the way of taxes to pay the interest on the national debt, and then of course you've got to print more and more, and pretty soon the whole system collapses. Is that a pretty good appraisal?
It certainly is, and that's the way I think the whole thing's headed. It's a matter of the time element, and we really don't know what that is. You know, some people are predicting 2018, and I'm not. I think it's going to happen sooner than that. I think perhaps over the next 2 or 3 years, and it could be sooner. It all depends on when these nations are finally forced to hold another meeting like the Smithsonian in the early 70s and the Plaza Accord of 85 and the Louvre Accord of 87. And they're going to have to meet and decide how they're going to devalue and revalue currencies and default. And so it has to come, and the quicker it comes, the better for everybody. But the powers behind government want to make sure that they're not going to lose control of what they control already, because their dream of implementing world government is simply not going to work again.
Well, they've tried repeatedly, and of course we're doing everything we can to build up the Chinese economy. Why? Well, they want equality between the nations. They want to raise the living standards there, lower the living standards here. But now China's not playing the game. They're not being fair. Why? They're taking the yuan. They're keeping the yuan down, tying it to the dollar, maybe come up just a little bit. They got $2.6 trillion in money, and now they're coming into the United States and beginning to buy up certainly oil fields and other things, you know, massive investments in the United States. And pretty soon, you know, why, China's got to pretty well own the United States. $2.6 trillion will buy an awful lot of assets here, won't it?
It certainly will. And are you going to see more aggressiveness on the part of the Chinese dumping their dollars? They have an astronomical amount of not only dollars, but other currencies as well. And it's created a tremendous imbalance. Of course, the Chinese want to keep their people employed, and that's pretty much impossible. They still kick along with 30 million unemployed. And I don't think it's ever really going to be able to be improved upon under even the best of circumstances, because when they take in this foreign currency, and especially the dollar in this particular case, what they're doing is they're getting the export business, but on the other hand, as they perform this function of manufacturing and exporting, they are bringing about the lower value of the dollar. And so what they're doing is inimical to what they'd like to accomplish. They just end up with too many other currencies, and they don't know what to do with them. And if we were on a gold standard, first of all, it wouldn't happen. And second of all, they could just take the gold and purchase it. And it would, in the scheme of things, be a very good thing to do. But that's not happening and won't happen for the time being. And I think if any other sort of package of currencies would be attempted, say the 50 major currencies of the world would be hypothetically joined together as a unit, and they would trade based upon their values, but they would have to be backed by gold, because there's absolutely no sense in continuing to have fiat currencies. Look what's happened. It's not only the dollar that's in terrible shape, it's everything else in the world of currencies. And it's not going to get better. And as long as no discipline is imposed upon that creation of money and credit by central banks, you're never going to have any stability. I mean, all they're interested in is grabbing everything they can, and in the shortest period of time, and not caring what happens to the system.
Yeah, but of course, our leaders are doing everything they can to build up communist China, and the Chinese communists are doing everything they can to build up communist China, and that's why communist China has amassed this tremendous amount of money. They can put all sorts of barriers on our goods getting in there by one means or another, all by one trick or another, and we always just smile and say, well, you just got to stop doing that sort of thing. We did this thing to the Japanese for years. They discriminated against our products, but we let them bring their products in here dirt cheap, and basically everything has been aimed at destroying the industrial base of our nation as we've moved our certainly our steel industry predominantly overseas, and we moved our textile industry overseas. Just try to buy a shirt made in the United States. Certainly our automotive industry, our electronic industry, now our agriculture industry, our aluminum production. But they can't let the American people know. that they're intentionally trying to impoverish the American people. And if you doubt it, read the Ten Commandments. It is the official policy of our nation, the Earth Charter, and you can find it on the Internet. Read point 10A. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And if you have a question for Bob Chapman, it's vitally important that you understand that they're out to destroy our economy. They're doing a great job. It's not going to change unless, of course, the American people understand and have these people tried for treason, because they're subversive organizations, globalist organizations intent upon destroying the structure of our society. Well, let's go to Ernie, who's calling from Spokane. Hi, Ernie. How are you doing?
Good, Dr. Stan. How are you?
Doing just fine. Do you have a question for Bob?
You bet. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, Bob, I keep hearing from local analysts or even national analysts saying gold is going up, but it's only going up because of the dollar's losing value. But they said once interest rates start to go up, it's going to squash the dollar, so be careful in investing. Something tells me that's not correct, because these people are don't often want anybody to invest in gold and silver, and they want them to be spending the money in the stock market. Could you clear that up for me?
Well, I think your appraisal is correct. The dollar will continue to progressively go down, but I think that gold will continue to go up. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why. Over the last 18 months during this QE1, so to speak, what has happened is that there's been a fight between the dollar and gold as to which is the world reserve currency. And gold is one hands down. It's just that most people don't realize it yet. And you see all of these commentaries on CNBC and CNN and Bloomberg and the Wall Street Journal and Barron's, you know, those other publications which reflect the views of the internationalists, and they keep on saying it's a mania or a craze and so on. I get a letter this morning from a gentleman who's a subscriber, and he lives in Vienna in Austria, and he says that at 8 o'clock in the morning, people are lined up at the places where you can buy gold and continuing every day to buy gold. We haven't seen that in a long time. We haven't seen it in the United States, although buying of gold in the last couple of years has picked up. But there are people, particularly older people, who have seen this sort of thing before that are aware of the ramifications of falling currencies, and in our case, it's a dollar. In Vienna, the case is the euro, and so people are escaping all currencies. And when you have this massive spending that goes on, you can't have a return to normality. They have lost control, and they've done it deliberately, because what they want to do is be able to bring the financial and economic situation to a level where there won't be any work, and people will have to depend upon government, and government will want world government, and that's really what this is all about. And so they know that the system's going down, because it is designed by them to go down, and they've done this many, many times in the past. And gold is going to continue to do it.
Gold is going up against all major currencies. It's been doing it for a couple of years. And, of course, they're going to discourage you from buying gold. Well, the older people over there in Austria are buying gold because they mean this is protection for their wealth. Certainly the European currencies are not protection for wealth because there's really nothing behind them. There may be a small amount of gold behind the euro, but it's only a very small amount. This gets into real trouble. And people in China, people throughout the world are buying gold. Hang on there, Ernie. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, and we'll be back in just a moment with Bob Chapman. Ernie, go right ahead. Do you have another question for Bob?
Well, yeah. He made a very good analysis about, I'm in the construction business here in Spokane, Washington.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
the countries to buy our bonds, and when they're not buying bonds, we have to just simply print the money and buy our own bonds. It's like pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. It doesn't work too well over a long period of time, but eventually, in an effort to try to get other countries to lend, you have to raise the interest rates. You raise the interest rates on the bonds, the interest rates on everything else goes up, and then, of course, pretty soon, while you're paying such high interest rates and you have such a massive debt, that all the money that you take in from taxes goes to pay interest on the national debt, and at about that time, things get a little difficult, don't they? Anything else, Ernie, before we let you go?
No, I've been listening to both of you for quite some time, and Monday evening is my favorite radio time, and I tell my friends at work and relatives for 4 or 5 years to buy gold and silver, and they're not... It's something not new to them, and they don't understand it, and it's the most simple thing to do, but I warned that there's going to come a day that the prices are going to go through the roof, and they're going to be out of control, and then they'll be able to do nothing about it.
And you're looking like more like a prophet right now, and I hope that they're saying, hey, I wish I'd listened to Ernie, 3 years ago.
Well, they keep telling me gold's too high now, I can't buy. And they said that when it was at 600, then it went to 7, and now it's at almost 14. So it's too bad. I try to turn them on to you guys as often as I can, and I want to thank you both for your information. You guys are way ahead of everybody, and your wisdom is unbelievable. So thank you again, and I'll call back some other time.
God bless. Thanks very much. Well, let's go to Delilah, who's calling from Ohio, and then our telephone number. No, I'm sorry, Delilah. And Delilah. Anyway, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, 464-8295 here in the central coast of California. Delilah, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Stan. Bob and Dr. Stan, before I get to my question or comment, I wanted to address the gentleman that was just on the line just before I was, talking to his friends and family about the coming deflationary depression. I got a book here that I'd like to recommend to the audience. I just sent you guys an email with a YouTube clip. I don't know if you're familiar with this woman or not. Her name is Clara, and her last name is an Italian last name. C-A-N-N-U-C-C-A-I-R-I. So I guess, of course, she's Italian. She's 95 years old, and she survived during the first Great Depression.
Well, what's the title of the book, Delilah?
The title of the book is Clara's Kitchen.
Clara's Kitchen, okay. I don't know the book at all, but I will certainly look into it.
Yeah.
Do you have a question for Bob? Because we're just about ready to go to a break. If you have a question, let's ask it.
Yes. Bob, from this point on, I mean, obviously we have to be preparing the best that we can. As far as, like, warning others, I mean, when do we know when is pretty much the cutoff, like, that, you know, it's like, well, you can only yell so much the ship is sinking before you head on to the lifeboats. When would you say, have we already passed that point where it's like, what's the point of, you know, warning anybody else and just get ready for the ship to go down, or what would your answer be to that?
All right, Bob, before you answer that, we just get our telephone number out one more time. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Bob, is it time to head for the lifeboats, or should we still keep trying to warn people what's going on?
No, we have to continue to warn people. I mean, even if only one more listens, because it's essentially fallen to us as our job to bring the facts to people so that they will understand what's being done to them. And once they understand that, they'll, quote, never go back, because they'll be able to see that what government does is not good for them. And so we have to keep on doing that, because we don't know what the timeline is.
I don't think anybody...
It could be 6 months or 3 years. I mean, nobody knows.
Well, Delia, I had dinner last night with a professional man. He's a physician. I won't mention it especially, but it belongs to a group of about 50 professionals. And he said, you know, he started talking about what's going on a couple of years ago. Everybody thought he was crazy. Now they're afraid he's not, and many of them are making preparations, you know, to look after themselves and their families. I mean, these are professional people. But, of course, you know, your job is to tell people. You can't make them listen, but those who God wants to listen will. Hang on, we'll be back in just a moment here. Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan. Delilah, do you have anything else you wanted to ask?
No, that was about it. I just wanted to recommend that book. I just finished reading it in 2 days. And if you want to have an idea of what deflationary depression is, firsthand from a 95-year-old woman, this book is it.
Okay, that's Clara's Kitchen, huh?
Yeah, Clara's Kitchen.
All right, God bless, and thanks very much. Appreciate it. You should get that email off to me. Bye-bye.
Okay, well, I already did.
Okay.
Okay,
well,
thanks
bye-bye.
For your time.
You're
thanks
welcome. Thank you for sending the information. And basically, of course, I think that most people really haven't know what would idea what it would be like a deflationary depression. I lived through that. Certainly, I was only a boy at the time, but I can remember my dad made $100 a month. And, you know, my mother certainly had to look after every single penny. I can remember that pot roast was 35 cents a pound, and boy, when we were really lucky, we could get a pot roast. But we didn't have pot roast very often. I remember how I looked forward to it. I remember people coming to the door and the men asking for a sandwich, something to eat, and my mother would always get something together for them so that nobody ever left our home hungry. But you go ahead, Bob.
Well, we did the same thing because that sort of thing lasted all the way through the 40s. And if you remember the clubs that they had after the war, what were they called, the 920 clubs?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, they had clubs where people would go who had come home from the service, who had no jobs, and they were being supported by something similar to unemployment. Their previous employment had been, of course, being involved in the war. But, you know, there was no easy time all the way through the 50s. And things didn't start to pick up until the 1960s when they started to really inflate. And that was the only thing that cause revival in the economy.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Bob Chapman. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bob Chapman this evening. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And as Bob said, you know, the Depression began 1929, and certainly we were not in much better shape in early 1940, 11 years later. And it was really only the war that got us out of the recession. And still, things were not that good after the war, but you know, certainly those were the days when I was going to college, and we lived meagerly, but we lived, nobody went hungry. We had a system of health care for everybody. Then there was always food kitchens, there were soup kitchens, there was always food available. Nobody went hungry, at least until the government said, oh, there are 3 million people living in poverty. We have to have a war on poverty. And now, of course, 40 years, 50 years later, we've got 47 million people living in poverty. And now they're talking about the necessity of cutting off care for the elderly because it's not cost effective and we have to do what's best for society. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. And before we go on, Bob, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get a hold of a copy of the International Forecaster and subscribe to it. And I will tell our listeners that I look forward to that coming twice a week, every Wednesday and every Saturday. Bob, why don't you tell them how to get in touch with you?
Well, the International Forecaster is about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues all over the world. As you said, we publish by email on Wednesdays and Saturdays, runs around 40 pages each time, and we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month for those who are not on the Internet. You can get a free introductory copy by going to theinternationalforecaster.com, theinternationalforecaster.com. You can also go to www.intforecaster.com, intforecaster.com. And if you have a question, you can email us, and we answer everyone. And that would be Bob, B-O-B, at intforecaster.com. Bob at intforecaster.com, or you can call toll-free 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
All right, fine. And certainly the International Forecaster is, well, there's nothing quite like it out there. Tremendous amount of information on what's really going on, and will give you insight into really what's happening and what's going to happen in the very near future. Well, it sounds like things over in Europe, that everybody thought that certainly once they got Greece under control, everything would be fine, the Greek economy. But what they did, of course, they offered to get Greece out of the problem they had, because they had, of course, they'd taken on a tremendous amount of debt. They'd borrowed money that they could never really pay back with the income that the Greek government had. And so to get the government out of the problem of excessive debt, they lent them more money. I mean, isn't that logical? Isn't that what you'd ordinarily do? If you're in problems for borrowing too much money, you just borrow more money. But Greece then had to promise that they would take austerity measures and begin to cut back on pensions and welfare payments. So people all over there are having all sorts of demonstrations. The police are demonstrating, and the public servants are demonstrating, and the people are demonstrating. The same thing is happening in France, because they're going to cut the retirement increase the retirement age from 60 to 62. Can you imagine that? Taking away those people's right to retire at 60 years of age, making them work until they're 62, and the French people just aren't going to put up with that. And there's increasing unrest all over Europe, is my understanding, or most places in Europe. Probably Germany's better than most of them. But if I pick up the story as far as what's happening in Europe, and what's happening throughout the rest of the world, Bob?
Well, you know, the situation economically in France, which is having tremendous strikes right now, based upon what you were talking about, and that is the extension of retirement age from 60 to 62, which is ludicrous. But why they can demand those kind of things was that after the war, and the Germans had been defeated, the people who were in the Marquis and other underground operations, almost all of them were either very far left socialist or communist. And after the war, they took over the labor unions, and they have never relinquished control. And that's why the labor unions in France act the way that they do. In other countries, they have different kind of problems. Sure, in Greece, in some cities, unemployment 70%, but overall it's probably around 15 to 20%. But the issue is not something like retirement being changed from 60 to 62. It's about people who are really not paying the taxes that they should. It's about bankers who should have never given them loans that they did, and the country, the people who have run the country know that. In the tax situation, It's totally uncontrolled, and taxes are evaded and avoided by many, many people. And so then everybody says, well, gee, I don't want to pay if he or she isn't paying. And so we have sort of like a rolling problem throughout Europe. After the war in Germany, the Labians were strong, but they weren't basically communist-oriented, and they didn't ask for unusual favors. In fact, from 1948, for all intents and purposes, until 1970, the labor unions were told by government, look, yeah, you can have a raise, and it'll be 1% a year or whatever it is, but it was always very, very reasonable. So the German public took on the burden of the German economic miracle, and they did that by not asking for more than government wanted to, or not asking for too much. After that, it was kind of like every man for himself. They had proven that they could resurrect the economy, which they did, and so there's different social situations in each country, and they have been an evolutionary process, and I've just given you an idea of the two largest economic giants in Europe and how they evolved after the war, which is very important because that's within many of our lifetimes, especially Stan and Myatt. And so you see why they do the things they do. If you look at Portugal and Spain, they never had strong labor unions. In Greece, never. And so Italy, they've had one string of either conservative or communist government ever since the Second World War. In fact, the people who caught Mussolini and killed him and hung him upside down, they were all communist partisans. And so, you know, you have this perpetual problem of a failed system. And incidentally, there's nothing spectacular and complete and successful about the kind of capitalism that's being supposedly practiced today. And it's really corporatist fascism. It's just that most people don't know one thing from another. They can't differentiate between the different kinds of socialism, never mind describe one. And so that's what we have going on. And it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse.
Well,
people just don't get it.
Well, the thing is that these socialist schemes really work pretty well for a time. You know, as long as there are more people paying into these socialist schemes that are taking money out, why, it's great. And just like our Social Security system will work great until there are more people retired than there was money coming in. And now, of course, we're looking at another 75 million baby boomers retiring in the next 20 years. And what are you going to do? There's not going to be enough people, young people, working. And right now there's one person working for every five people retired. 10 years from now, there'll be three people working for every one person retired. And probably 30 or 40 years from now, there'll be one person working for every one person who's retired. And they're going to have to put about 80% of their income to pay for the Social Security and health care benefits of the people who retired. And the whole system quits working. Why would anybody want to work under those circumstances? Socialism is a sincere, benevolent, idealistic theory, but it doesn't work unless somebody's in control. But unless you got other sources of income, it's not even going to work if somebody's in control, and there's no way that they can make the system work today. But the beauty of what they've done, we have the Trilateral Commission. It is really runs our government. As Barry Goldwater said in 1979, their goal is to take political control of the United States government. He said that on page 280. of his book with no apologies, and you can get the book from us. Well, today they control the government, but they have the leaders of the unions in with these financial elitists, with the bankers and with the people who control the media. The people who control the unions are there. So the union workers think that they have representation, or it actually, of course, their leaders belong to the same little cabal. And they're never going to get a fair shake. And that when this thing begins to crumble, why, of course, they will do, their leaders will do everything to keep the union people under control. They're not going to make the mistakes that other countries have had where you have independent unions. Go right ahead, though, Bob. Once again, though, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Incidentally, you can get the membership list of the Trilateral Commission at trilateral.org or by calling our 800 number, 1-800-544-8927, and getting the syllabus, the membership list of the Brotherhood of Darkness. But go right ahead, Bob.
Well, I think in sizing up the situation worldwide, each country has its own set of problems, and you have expansive capitalism in one area. You have a form of socialism which has been corporatized, which is called fascism in another, and then you have the European brand of benevolent socialism, and of course you have the kind which was in the Soviet Union, which was a disaster. And I don't think anybody wants to go back to that. There has to be a better way. And you would think that academics in the United States would understand what they're facing and what they've created in America. And that is the same thing they had in Germany. And, you know, the final reasoning behind it all is extremely faulty, because the only way that you can make fascism, socialism work in the long haul is to have wars one after another. And when the people make noises, well, you throw a bone or a loaf of bread or whatever it is. And so that has been the way of control. And particularly these economists and analysts who know very little about history, you think they would go and read something and look back and see what had happened throughout history when governments did the kind of things that Europe and England and the U.S. are doing now. And the people in those positions would say, well, gee, that's dreadful. We know that doesn't work. In fact, Mr. Bernanke and Boskin wrote a paper in 1988 saying that what Bernanke is doing now definitely doesn't work, but yet he's doing it. And the reason he's doing it is that they don't have any other idea what to do, and they're trying to figure when is the best time to pull the plug on the economy and when is the best time to start another war as a cover, so that they can say, well, gee, the war caused all those terrible things in the economy. It had nothing to do with the way that we ran the economy and finance. And I've come to the conclusion, after having studied Keynesian economics in university as well as read about it for many years, that what the Keynesian model was nothing more nor less than a framework for corporatist fascism.
I'm sure you're absolutely right. You know, this thing has been tried time and again. They tried it in ancient Greece, and one of my favorite quotations you can find in Bartlett's quotations came from Aristotle. He said there's absolutely nothing wrong with fiat money as long as you have perfect authority and godlike wisdom in kings. Of course, he was saying that with tongue-in-cheek. There's absolutely nothing wrong with fiat money as long as you have perfect authority and godlike wisdom in kings. Now, how many people think that Ben Bernanke and Alan Greenspan are perfect and that we have godlike wisdom in some Obama, Barack Hussein Obama. And, of course, it didn't work in ancient Greece. It didn't work in ancient Rome. It didn't work, certainly, you know, in the Lombard system or in Florence or in Venice. It didn't work, certainly, during the American Revolution or in France in 1703 or 1704 under John Law during the Civil War. Then the American Revolution didn't work in France in 1789. It's certainly not going to work now. Maybe we ought to send Mr. Bernanke a copy of my book on the history of money.
Well, I think that he probably would say, I don't have time to read it. But these people just don't want to know, because what they're doing is a reason to be. And if they don't do what they're doing, they won't be either at the top of the heap or have any job at all. One of the methods of compliance is intimidation. I mean, you've had it in every government in history. And the intimidation not only comes from government, it comes from the social and the manufacturing and service sectors. And that's very important for people to understand, because if you step out of line, you lose your job.
And I think that jobs are going to become much more important in the near future. I think that we're heading into a period of chaos and crisis and certainly the progressive collapse of the economic system. What's the greatest economic system in the world? This is intentionally being destroyed. If you doubt it, read point 10 of the Earth Charter. How will we get equitable distribution of wealth between nations, between America and, say, of China? Well, you will lower the living standards here. You'll raise them over in China. We'll be right back. Bob, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, I think an extension of the history of political philosophy is an
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.
One is called Prophetic Warning. It's the farewell address, 1837, of Andrew Jackson. Five newsletters where we comment on what he said. And it's really so interesting. Well, if you go up on, say, onto on Google, and you Google in Andrew Jackson's farewell address, at the top of the page, at least last time I looked, was a copy of his farewell address. And it doesn't say anything at all about his battle with the central bank. And then you see in small letters, abridged. And so they simply took out the most important thing that he said because they don't want you to know. Well, published it, and it's called The Prophetic Warning. Then, of course, we have another pamphlet already going into the background of the monetary collapse. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. They intentionally precipitated the monetary collapse, but they can't let you know that. I mean, you're supposed to think that this thing happened. No, of course, the banks work in concert. They've simply cut back intentionally on their lending. The large ones and the small banks, they're paying them interest on their reserves with the Federal Reserve to encourage them not to lend so that they can contract the economy, so they can throw people out of work, so people will lose their homes. We lost all for 100,000 jobs last month. That's how this whole system works. This is how, of course, we transfer wealth from the common people, and the banks foreclose on commercial developments. They basically, they take the farms, they take the businesses. They know exactly what they're doing. They've done the same thing over and over again. And they're doing it now, but nobody's telling the American people. And they think this has something to do with financial cycles. This is a cycle created by the banking system to facilitate the greatest transfer of monetary wealth that has ever taken place. But even more than the wealth that the banks are accumulating is this whole idea that all of the banks, and I'm talking about the six major banks, Citibank and J.P. Morgan Chase, are both Rockefeller banks. And, of course, I suspect Morgan Stanley is closely aligned there. And then, of course, you've got Wells Fargo. You've got Goldman Sachs and one other, and basically they're all tied into what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, either the CFR, the Trilateral Commission, and most of them are both. And then, of course, they are dedicated really not even as much to making money as they are to this one world government, because behind this are the powerful spiritual forces. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, shame on you. You need to get it. You need to hear my talk on the financial tsunami. You need to hear my talk on the financial Armageddon. There's syllabuses with both of those talks. You need to read Ed Griffin's excellent book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. That's The Creature from Jekyll Island. We recommend these all to you. We have a book written in 1899 by a man named Walther. He was a lawyer. It's called The Coming Battle: How the Banks Are Going to Gain Control of the American Government. Ladies and gentlemen, they control the American government today. Of course, they're part of what the Brotherhood of Darkness. They interlock with the power elite, which, of course, is dedicated to a one-world government, a one-world religion, and the coming world leader. And when you understand the spiritual forces behind what's going on and the significance of what's happening, it all begins to make so much more sense. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is RadioLiberty.com, that's RadioLiberty.com. We are primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help us, why, we'd appreciate hearing from you. And once again, our number 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, If you have anybody who'd like to advertise or become a regular member of the Radio Liberty family, give us a call. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, provision, protection. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, hopefully, they're going to be the views of Patrick Wood of August Review. And Patrick is certainly one of the most knowledgeable people in the entire country on the Trilateral Commission. In fact, I depend upon his research and his information for so much of what we're doing today. And, of course, Patrick had gone to work with no guest yet. Well, hopefully they'll just keep right on trying. Patrick had gone to work with Anthony Sutton, who had lived here in Santa Cruz. I knew personally. Professor Sutton had done amazing work on the financing of the communist revolution by Wall Street. He didn't understand the Council on Foreign Relations or the spiritual forces that motivated them. He had done a great deal of work on the financing of Adolf Hitler, but he didn't really understand that all those corporations that were over there building the war machine for Adolf Hitler were actually tied into the Council on Foreign Relations, which existed at that time, was organized in 1921. Anyway, we're having a little difficulty having it. I'm going to ask our producer if you just call Barbara and see if she has any ideas what he can do. We're having difficulty. We seem to have a wrong number for Patrick Wood. Anyway, of course, if you're out there in the listening audience and you'd like to give us a call, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But basically, Patrick Wood had gone to work with Anthony Sutton, who, a professor, had been actually a fellow up at the Hoover Institute, done a lot of great research, but they fired him back in 1972 because he gave a speech before the Republican Nominating Commission in 1972 pointing out that the United States was funding the North Vietnamese government indirectly, that was funding the Viet Cong, that were killing our men in Vietnam, and the fact that most of the weapons that were being used there were built with American technology, and the ships were bringing the military supplies from Russia were built with American technology, and that America was, in essence, creating and financing the best enemy money could buy. And, of course, by 1972, our forces had been there for 10 years, been committed to battle from August of 1964 at the Gulf of Tonkin incident, the phony Gulf of Tonkin incident, because it really didn't occur the anyway as we were told. But basically, certainly, the American people were not to know that. Well, Professor Sutton was really very, very fortunate that all they did was fire him and blacklist him so he couldn't get a job anyplace, but he was able to eke out a living by writing books, and some of the finest books we have on Skull and Bones and the American Establishment were certainly written by Professor Sutton. But his work on the Trilateral Commission is so very important today, and during the last part of the 1970s, Patrick Wood went to work with Tony Sutton, and they wrote a series of books on the Trilateral Commission. They debated members of the Trilateral Commission, and they were able to, of course, get a tremendous amount of information together. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you'd like to give us a call. But, of course, the Trilateral Commission is at the apex of the Brotherhood of Darkness in the United States today. They are not the only part of this organization, but they're certainly the most influential one. And, of course, if you read Barry Goldwater's book, With No Apologies, and we have second-hand copies of that book, which we will make available to you if you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And Barry Goldwater said on pages 280 of his book, With No Apologies, oh, I think we've got Pat Wood on the line. Hi, Pat, how you doing?
Well, hello, Stan. I'm doing just fine. Thank you very much.
All right, fine. I should have given you my number, so if we didn't call you, you could call us. But anyway, I'm glad we got through and so glad to get your appraisal of what's going on today. And I was just telling our listeners how back in the late 1970s, you joined forces with Tony Sutton and were able to write a couple of books on the Trilateral Commission and their control over the American government at that time. Do you want to pick up on that thought?
Well, they did control the American government at that time. That is the executive branch of our government. They didn't really control Congress per se, nor did they control the judiciary, but they got a hold of very solidly of the executive branch, initially through Jimmy Carter. With his election, he brought a number of people from the Trilateral Commission into top positions in his administration, including all the trade positions, and they have maintained that hegemony ever since, through every administration since then, through the Reagan-Bush administration, through the George Bush administration, through the Clinton and Gore administration in the 90s, through the Bush-Cheney administration in the 2000s, and now through the Obama administration. He has, again, virtually stacked his deck with members of the Trilateral Commission, and they've been executing their policy ever since 1973 when they started. The ostensible purpose of was to create a new international economic order, and I dare say they have done it. Unfortunately, it's broken. The economic system that we have today is absolutely in shambles. And as far as I'm concerned, these are the people that we can thank directly for wrecking the global economy and leaving us in a pile of ashes with our middle class just virtually disintegrating from our country as we speak. It's been a very sad 35-year period of time, Dr. Stan, where a very few number of people have changed the course of history in our country.
And I think you're absolutely right. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment as we bring all of our various stations on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we have Patrick Wood with us now from the August Review. And Patrick was saying that basically the Trilateral Commission has never had complete control of Congress or the legislative branch or even of the judicial branch, but they've controlled the executive branch of government going back to 1976, 1977, when their man, Jimmy Carter, was actually made President of the United States. And then during the Reagan-Bush administration, what most people people don't know, is that Ronald Reagan, who had criticized Jimmy Carter for having all these people from the Trilateral Commission in key positions in his office, Ronald Reagan invited the members of the Trilateral Commission to the White House for dinner. All 87 members of the Trilateral Commission to come to the White House for dinner, a sign of certainly acquiescence to their globalist program for the world. Well, Sidney, of course, as Patrick points out, these people have been in control since 1977. And what are we talking of, Sidney? Well over 30, 33 years or so. And they left our nation in shambles. The middle class is being destroyed. These people have been in control. Certainly read David Rockefeller's memoirs. On page 405, he certainly criticizes the political extremists who criticize him and the people he's worked with. And then he said, now he's writing in 2002, I mean, certainly these people would have nothing to suggest, you know. I mean, how would we have been able to raise living standards throughout the world? How would we have been able to maintain prosperity in the United States if we had not intervened? Meaning, of course, he and the people he controls. Well, he's absolutely right. Things were increasing in the third world countries and second world countries back in 2002, and certainly we did have still a vibrant economy, but they've been in charge, and they're in charge today. And look where we are. How does he defend what he's done to the American economy? And, of course, the economy of the entire world is in shambles because these people have been directing the course of world economic affairs. So you pick up the story there, Patrick.
Well, you know, Dr. Stan, this is really interesting. I suppose the question is, people would ask, well, how can you tie those early actions and the actions through the years to not only just to this small group of people, but to what Rockefeller himself called the nefarious plot to control the world? And I just happened to be reading the very last chapter, the conclusion chapter on Trilaterals Over Washington, Volume 2, and I was a little bit taken back by my own summary that I wrote the conclusion to Volume 2. And this was in 1980, Dr. Stan, and I said, the co-authors believe that once the American in the street realizes the full implication of the trilateral process, then trilateralism will receive outright rejection. The reason is simple. Trilateralism is diametrically opposed to the U.S. Constitution and will ultimately require removal of the Constitution if the new international economic order is to succeed, close quote. And this is exactly what has happened. I don't think we were trying to be so prophetic back in those days, but this is as current today as to what's happening as what we viewed back then. After analyzing their policies very carefully with a fine-tooth comb to find out what they were doing, this was our ultimate conclusion, was that if they were going to be successful, they were headed toward removing the U.S. Constitution from the governance of our country so that their new economic world order would succeed. And so we see their world order succeeding in Europe, in the international monetary scene. They control all of the international the Bank for International Settlements now, as well as the central banks of all the major countries.
How about the World Bank?
And the World Bank as well. In fact, the World Bank was one of the instruments they used to gain this domination in the first place. And as you know, the World Bank president is always selected by the president of the United States. The IMF gets to choose Europe gets to choose who heads up the IMF. And out of eight presidents of the World Bank since Jimmy Carter, eight out of ten have been members of the Trilateral Commission. These were people who were chosen by the President of the United States. So they've had virtually free reign all these years to implement their policies at the World Bank. The IMF, by the way, has been close behind. And as we see, when they created the World Trade Organization, those three organizations, the World Bank, the IMF, the World Trade Organization, as well as the Bank for International Settlements, they have orchestrated virtually unopposed world trade policy for at least 25 years now, Dr. Stan.
Including the current president of the World Bank, isn't Robert, what's his
Robert
name?
Robert Zoellick, that's right.
Member of the Trilateral Commission.
He is currently a member of the Trilateral Commission, that's exactly right.
And of course, if you look at the North American membership of the North American chapter of the Trilateral Commission, there you find the president of the Bank of Israel. President of the Bank of Israel? And then, of course, the president of the Bank of the Central Bank of Canada, Mr. Bernanke. Of course, he is not a member. He's, I think he's been brought in as the fall guy. As this whole thing collapses, they got appointed him. He'll be the man, the Herbert Hoover of our time. And then, of course, he is simply, has no control over what's going on today. And he was brought in, I think, so his name will go down in disgrace throughout the centuries as the man who destroyed our economy, and he's playing his part. He doesn't have the courage to stand against them, or maybe he doesn't even know what's going on.
Well, Alan Greenspan, of course, was a member of the commission, and so was Paul Volcker, who was the chairman of the Fed under Jimmy Carter.
And Arthur Burns before them,
I think. That's right, and Arthur Burns before that. So the Fed has been pretty much dominated by members of the Trilateral Commission over all those years, And, of course, Timothy Geithner, our Secretary of the Treasury, came from the New York Fed, where he's president, and he's a member of the Trilateral Commission. He's in charge of our Treasury today. So, some people would say, the Rockefeller leveled this criticism at us. He said, the reason all these trilateral people show up in these places is because they represent the cream of the crop. And there's no wonder that they should be selected for top positions on a routine basis. On the other hand, people like myself and yourself would answer that by saying, well, out of 350 million people in our country, are you saying that there's only a handful of 100 people who are qualified to hold positions like Secretary of the Treasury and Chairman of the Fed and President, Vice President of our country and so on? That's ridiculous on the face of it. It's absolutely stark, raving ridiculous.
And I think your point that between 1977 and 2008, every president of the United States and or vice president of the United States came from the membership rolls of this little 87-member group. And you mean to tell me there's nobody else in this whole country that would be qualified? There's a fellow named David Rothkopf. He wrote a book called The Superclass. He's a member of the CFR, worked for Kissinger and Associates. And his book says, about 6,000 people run our country. And a lot of what he says is true, but he plays down the idea of the Trilateral Commission, how ridiculous this organization is. The only thing they ever do is convene themselves, ha, ha, ha. And, of course, that's the reason the book is written, because they don't want the American people to realize that this little cabal under the leadership of David Rockefeller certainly controls the reins of government today and, of course, is moving us towards this catastrophic event where we equalize wealth throughout the world. That is, of course, the wealth of the common people, not the wealth of the elite or the super class, the super elite that, of course, as we move towards a feudalistic society. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Our guest is Patrick Wood, who wrote or co-authored The Trilateralists Over Washington. And if you haven't gone to his website, augustreview.com.
Augustreview.com.
I mean, he has the best information you'll find anywhere on the Trilateral Commission, but go right ahead.
Well, I am. Was saying you mentioned earlier, Dr. Stan, about Barry Goldwater had written about the plans of the Trilateral Commission in his book With No Apologies, and that book is still available, by the way, it's still in print and can be purchased from Amazon, I believe.
We actually offer that.
Oh, that's good. Well, it makes a good read if anybody wants to get it, check it out. It makes a great read. It's historical, but it was very blunt, and he nails a lot of things. Rockefeller, in his own book, Memoirs, his autobiography, made the statement about Ronald Reagan, which everybody has said was so independent, that that after Reagan had invited all of the members of the Trilateral Commission to the White House, that he eventually saw the usefulness of the Trilateral Commission, and the paternalistic way that that Rockefeller stated it in his book was like, well, you mean at first he really didn't get it, and I don't think he did at first, quite honestly, when he was forced to take George Bush as his running mate. But before the end of his 8 years, he did get the picture that the Trilateral Commission was in charge, and he was not.
And of course the fact that there was an assassination attempt on his life, and of course the boy, who a young man who tried to assassinate the President of the United States, was closely affiliated with, I think it was one of George Bush's sons. What are the chances of 350 million people out there who could assassinate the President, Reagan, or the one who would do it would be closely affiliated with the George Bush family? Hey, isn't that a strange coincidence? I think probably Ronald Reagan got the idea there. Now, you know, if you want to live, why, you can pretend to be president, but we're going to make the ultimate decisions. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Go right ahead, Patrick.
Well, there's...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finish, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
President Dick Cheney, who was a member of the Trilateral Commission, whose wife was a member of the Trilateral Commission, and of course, life will never be the same. After the September 11th attack, whatever happened that day isn't as important as how the Trilateral Commission, the invisible government, call it what you will, has utilized the attack to justify restricting the freedom of the American people and changing the direction of our nation from a constitutional republic with limited federal government power to an all-powerful federal government that can regulate every aspect of our lives in the name of protecting us from the wicked Osama bin Laden, hiding in a cave in Pakistan, plotting on how he's going to take away our freedom. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, our guest Patrick Wood of AugustReview.com. AugustReview.com, I recommend the site to you. There's much information there, certainly on the Trilateral Commission. And then, of course, information on the things that are transpiring today. As the very economic structure of our nation is being systematically destroyed. And people are waiting for things to get better. And I don't think they're going to get better, at least not in the foreseeable future, probably not during my lifetime. But you go right ahead, Patrick.
Well, you know, Dr. Stan, way back in those years, as we were writing about the Trilateral Commission, using their own information, of course, as the source of our research, rather than, you know, like just cooking stuff up or using what other people wrote about it, we dug to the source. That was Tony Sutton's way. If it wasn't my way, he taught me that was the way, so that's the way we did it. And we took flack from these people, left and right. One commission member, George Franklin, who was prominent back in those days, told us face to face in a radio show debate that we had, kind of a point counterpoint. He said point blank, quote, "We haven't a single advocate of world government." Close quote. It was absolute bald-faced lie. And this was kind of their modus operandi back then. They had no problem just completely fabricating their critics away. And so unfortunately, you know, this program worked against us to get this to get this information out, even though we did sell quite a few books. But we made the headlines in Forbes magazine in the November 24, 1980 issue, where their Washington bureau chief, Jerry Flint, wrote an article called "What's a Trilateral Commission?" And the subtitle was "Why Marxists and Birchers Love to Hate the Trilateral Commission." And it cites us, and me in particular, as the members of the far right, who warns that trilaterals want to trade America's economic independence for some kind of new world economic order, a playground for the multinationals manipulating governments for their profits. That was a quote from his article in Forbes magazine. And, these people control the press. They still do in the very same way. And they make statements like this that just, you know, they take level-headed criticism like what we're trying to offer, and they completely just wipe it away with some, you know, oblique statement like this, ridiculing the fact, oh, yeah, some kind of new world economic order, sure, ha, I bet, a playground for multinationals. Well, I'll tell you what, David Rockefeller doesn't have a playground. He may have the world at his fingertips, but it's not a playground. He's deadly serious about what he's doing. And so we see this criticism, you know, coming against us. It's the same thing back then that's happening today. And unfortunately, it's coming from the, you know, even from the, from like the core of the Republican Party as well as the core of the Democrat Party. Neither one of them want to touch this with a 10-foot stick. Even trying to get members of you know, independent, you know, people like the, like Tea Party type people or true conservatives, it's even hard to get them to listen to this and understand it.
Well, I know it is, but we just have to keep putting this out. And Patrick, we're making progress. I mean, people all across the country are waking up, and everybody we can convince, just one person can convince dozens of people, and this is being multiplied over and over again. We had a conference just this last yesterday where we had 160 people from across America coming to our radio annual Radio Liberty Conference. You spoke there a couple of years ago, but basically more and more people are realizing what's going on. I've been at this for 48 years. I'm more optimistic than I've ever been before. So don't lose heart. We'll be back here in just a moment with Patrick Wood. Give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. This is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Patrick Wood. And, well, Patrick, certainly as we're looking at what's going on financially, why certainly the stock market keeps going up, but the price of certainly of commodities is going up considerably. Certainly the price of gold and silver is going up considerably. But the interesting thing, if you look at the volume on the stock market, why the stock market is going up and moved very rapidly, but certainly on very low volume. What does that mean?
Well, it has been low volume, and even though in the last 3 weeks or so, the average volume has been inching up slightly, it still is relatively low. And I think, Dr. Stan, I've been you know, really scratching my head over this. I spend quite a bit of time with my August forecast looking at economic issues, looking at market issues and currencies and so on. It seems to me what's at play here is the central part of it is the central bank in our country, namely the Fed. And Chairman Bernanke has, of course, indicated that he's going to have another round of quantitative easing, which means basically creation of credit to inject more liquidity into the economy here. And there's been a lot of talk about this all over the press. In fact, it's just been a full-court press, if you will, to getting this message out. And my thought on this at this point is the jawboning that Bernanke has done has been successful at drawing back money, liquidity, if you will, from outside of our country into our markets all at once. And we've seen an incredible influx of capital coming from overseas. This is money that's been parked in dollars in other countries and has come back to invade our tangible markets. And although stocks aren't very tangible, they represent the companies of
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Patrick certainly is our, Patrick Wood is our guest. He's from augustreview.com, and Warrior Sydney was talking about how at the present time a great deal of capital has come from overseas and has been invested certainly in our stock market. Bernanke has been jawboning, trying to get people to bring their money back into this country, and they really have. And of course the stock market has gone up, but of course that whatever goes up can come down, and I think it's only a matter of time, in my estimation, before that market collapses and the people who are invested in it could lose everything they've invested literally overnight. Well, before we go on, Patrick, I want you to get out your telephone, your web page, tell people about your publication, and are you still publishing that financial letter? And then if you're out in the listening audience, would like to talk to Patrick on finances or on the other issues we've talked about, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But Patrick, what about your website? What information can people get there?
Well, the AugustReview.com, Dr. Stan, is my body of knowledge on the Trilateral Commission itself. This was the work that proceeded from Anthony Sutton and myself's research and writing back in the 70s and 80s. And that's a free site. People can go there and just read their little heart's content, find out just about everything they ever wanted to know about the Trilateral Commission, plus more. And my sister site, AugustForecast.com, is a financially oriented site that deals with stock market, with the economy, with political forecasting and things like that. And as you know, my original discipline was in the financial world. When I hooked up with Tony Sutton in the mid-70s, it was specifically because I was in the financial industry that my eyes were open to this. And when I ran into to Tony at a gold conference, actually, believe it or not, in the mid-1970s, he was coming at the Trilateral Commission from a completely different angle than I was at the time. And when we compared notes, and realize, oh my gosh, we're looking at the same instrument here, the same group of people. It made the hackles stand up on the back of our neck, and we knew we'd be partners for several years. Even after our first meeting, we knew we were going to do something together. So anyway, that's August Forecast. It's an inexpensive premium service charged on an annual basis, but I write three updates a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And just trying to help people get a handle on some of the, some of the short-term stuff that's going on. It's really hard these days, as you know, Dr. Stan, to keep a level head. The wind is blowing so hard, and the rain and the sleet and all the bad news and everything. It's so difficult for people to keep a level head. And keep a perspective about what's going on without just turning to, abject panic.
Well, there's a great deal to be very upset about, and certainly as I look at the massive debts that we have, the massive trade deficits that we have, America has become the greatest debtor nation in the world. I'm often reminded of a phrase in the Bible where God is talking to the children of Israel and saying, you shall lend money to other countries and you shall rule over them. Well, of course, we now are borrowing money from other countries, and they're going to rule over us. This is what people don't understand, is that we are relinquishing our national sovereignty simply for financial reasons, so we can continue fighting wars overseas, no-win wars, so we can continue the massive social welfare programs that we're going to end sooner or later because there's no way that they can be financed. And there's certainly, but in the process, the very financial structure of America, I believe, is endangered. What are your thoughts?
I do, too. The economic crisis that we have today, in my estimation, can be laid squarely on the doorstep of the Federal Reserve. And I would remind the listeners again that Alan Greenspan was chairman of the Fed for, 18 years, I believe, a member of the Trilateral Commission, attended all the meetings. Of course, he was also on the attended all of the Bank for International Settlements meetings as well in Basel, Switzerland. And Alan Greenspan, the monetary policies that he implemented in our country were in sync, if you will, at least in sync with the policies, the general policies that the Trilateral Commission had hammered out around the world. If we have seen degradation, national degradation economically in our country in the last 20, 25 years, we can lay it directly on the policies of the Federal Reserve. They're the ones who have created the bubble, the liquidity bubbles, for instance, that created the dot-com bubble in year 2000, that has created the real estate bubble that melted down with the subprime crisis a couple years ago. We see it, we have another crisis coming out of that as well. And you'll never be able to tell me that they were completely ignorant of what they were doing when they were implementing these policies in the first place. Only a blathering idiot would not understand what they were doing with the policies they implemented with the Federal Reserve that has brought us to the point of destruction that we're at today.
And, of course, I think Alan Greenspan knew exactly what he was doing, because when he left the Federal Reserve, he became a paid consultant for, I think it was PIMCO and John Paulson, two large hedge funds, assigned agreements with them, told them what to do. And what did they do? Why, they shorted the housing market. He'd been encouraging people to get into, you know, to refinance a home, to take out adjustable home mortgages. I mean, an adjustable home mortgage isn't like signing a suicide pact. And yet, of course, he was pushing derivatives. He was doing everything he could to encourage the housing bubble, which was destined to pop, and it did pop in 2007. But he told these two hedge funds what to do. They made out like bandits, and I suppose he did as well. He knew exactly what was going to happen, and yet, of course, publicly he would say, oh, shucks, nobody could have figured out what was going to happen. Well, the people he advised knew what was going to happen, and it did. I mean, I think Alan Greenspan knew exactly what he was doing. He just doesn't want the American people to know that today.
That appears to be the case, and interesting that PIMCO just recently is announced that they're divesting themselves of their long-term treasury obligations, believing obviously that interest rates are going to go up sometime soon, which would drop the price of those, the principal price of those bonds. So they're bailing out of them right now like crazy. The thing I would say to Chairman Bernanke right now is, regarding his quantitative easing issue, I say, show me the beef. I haven't seen any beef yet. I've read the documents, the FOMC documents, that regardless of what he says in his testimony, the documents, the written documents are what we have to go by. And those documents don't line up with what he's saying with his mouth. And my guess is the policy, you know, they will say one thing and do another. That's what I'm trying to say. And I found over the years that I've tracked these people, especially Alan Greenspan, he had an uncanny knack of saying something in such a way that would lead people in one direction, say just to the right, while he all along had in mind he was really going to move to the left. And so he would say one thing and lead people in one direction, then he'd turn around and do something exactly in the opposite direction. And so I'm highly suspicious right now that Chairman Bernanke is smoking the country, leading them to believe there's going to be this massive quantitative easing take place that will inject new liquidity into our economy. But the documents don't give us the beef on how he's going to do it and when he's going to do it. He just says, well, I'm thinking that's what I'm going to do. But it hasn't been committed to print anywhere that I can find, at least. And my guess at this point is he's leading us to believe this is what he's going to do, but he has another agenda in mind that has nothing to do with QE2.
Well, you know, that really is very interesting observation, because I'm sure you probably are aware of his Chairman Bernanke's speech on the 4th of October. Where he basically talked about, he said, to be sure, projections are some degree or only hypothetical exercises, almost by definition, but unsustainable trajectories, trajectories of deficits and debts will never actually transpire, because creditors will never be willing to lend to a country in which the fiscal debt relative to the national income is rising without limit. Herbert Stein, a wise economist, once said, if something cannot go on forever, it will stop. One way or the other, fiscal adjustment sufficient to stabilize the federal budget will certainly occur at some point. And what he's basically saying is things can't keep going on the way they are. And yet, of course, what he's advocating with quantitative easing is trying to continue the things going on as they are, and it can't happen because, of course, very, very soon, other countries aren't going to lend us any money. If he simply monetizes the debt, creates money out of nothing, he will destroy the value of our currency. Do you think he has something else up his sleeve that we don't know about?
I do, and I'm still not sure exactly what that might be, Dr. Stan, but there's no doubt that these global players have been talking about global currency issues for a long time now, and we're not really privy to what they say behind closed doors. We see articles from time to time, little trial balloons that are out there where leaders, bank leaders or whatever, will call for an international currency of sorts. And my guess is this could be jockeying for some end game that they have in mind to bring a global currency about and to force the dollar into it, as well as the yuan and the euro and other currencies, major currencies in the world. That's just a guess at this point, but I found that every time a crisis is presented, that these people always have a plan already created. They never come to, in other words, they never come to the game without a plan. We even saw during the financial crisis when Henry Paulson, then Secretary of the Treasury, was trying to convince Congress that they needed to cough up all these billions of dollars to bail out the banks, he pulled out a plan out of his back pocket that was called the blueprint. That's all they called it. I looked it up on the Treasury.gov website, and lo and behold, found a document called The Blueprint. Just that simple, The Blueprint, a 200-page document that outlined financial regulation for the next 20 years, and he was trying to cram this down Congress's throat. And that document was not created in a vacuum. I'm sure it took weeks, if not months, to create it. Somebody had put a great deal of thought into it. And he pulled it out of his pocket as if it was something, oh, shucks, I stayed up late last night and wrote this blueprint, and here it is, and this is what you need to do. They always come prepared to the party when there's an emergency, and I always look at the solutions that they trot out first to say, well, okay, how old is that solution? In fact, has it been kicking around for 3 months, 6 months, 6 years, whatever, just waiting to be popped out at the right minute?
Well, so, Patrick, if they do move to a world currency and the dollar is no longer the world currency of the world, the world's currency or the reserve currency of the world, what's going to happen? Certainly all these countries holding trillions of dollars, certainly between Japan and China and Germany and England and a few of the others. I mean, if they started to divest themselves of dollars and move into this world currency, what would happen to our economy? Would that money come home here? Would it flood us? Would it create runaway inflation? What are your thoughts? Certainly we've been exporting our inflation here already for 50 years. We've been able to live very well by sending our money overseas, creating money but sending it overseas to pay for things. But if that money ever started to come home, what would happen?
Well, we would be in big trouble if all that money came back all at one time. And most of the big money in the world are still invested in dollars. We need to remember that. They don't have any vested interest in seeing the dollar destroyed at this point. They do want to see a world currency. I think that's all over the map. Everybody's calling for that, and I think plenty of their own writings have indicated that. But the people, the big money that own dollars, that are invested in dollars, are not just going to give up all their wealth or even a good portion of it because the dollar goes out of existence. I'm just speaking kind of my opinion, and not so much documented, but just my opinion, knowing how screwy these people think. If I had to just make a guess at what's happening right now, I think these people are jawboning the dollar down in a huge bear trap to get all of the people on board with shorting the dollar, with trying to slam the dollar down. And my guess is that the dollar is going to turn around and streak skyward at some point This is just my opinion at this point, but there's some technical evidence to support it as well. But in the end of it, the sledgehammer they need to bring in a world currency and leave them as the dominant player is going to be dependent on the dollar, I do believe. And a super strong dollar will not be tolerated by the rest of the world for very long. So if these guys can rake up as many dollars as they can in the meantime, sock it away, watch it go up, watch the world start to scream, come back into the table with, gee, folks, we don't know this just happened, but hey, let's use the opportunity to hammer out a world currency. We'll contribute the dollar to it. We'll contribute the euro to it. We'll even give you a 10 or 15% advantage for coming into it. Same thing with China. It would give them an incentive to give up their dollars to contribute it to the global currency from a position of strength, not from a position of weakness. I'm just cynical, I guess, Dr. Stan. I've been watching these people too long to believe the surface of anything.
I noticed that Dave Rosenberg, who I put a lot of credence in, his remark was that the dollar's oversold and expected to reverse. So he's really sort of more or less confirming what your thought would be. Certainly this is no time to be shorting the dollar.
That's exactly right. And, this would be no time to be buying stocks either, in my estimation. All of these things are acting like a mania again. I say a mania is that's the technical term, mania, not crazy maniac, but a bubble is irrational buying or selling if it's going in the other direction. And we're seeing a bubble here right now with all these things, with gold and silver and stocks and tin and wheat and corn and you name it, copper, same thing, cotton.
And, of course, if the dollar were to go up, why, probably the gold and silver would back off for a time. I don't think that they're going to lose their value. They'll always have value. But these can be manipulated, so be very, very careful. Remember, you're playing with people who are so much smarter than we are, who have the wealth of the world at their disposal. Our guest is Patrick Wood, AugustReview.com. Great information, AugustReview.com. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program. Well, Patrick, always a pleasure. We've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program and to tell our listeners.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
Ministry. Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family supporters, we certainly could love to hear from you. If you'd like to get to Professor Sutton's book, Trilaterals Over Washington, why we have this book, and on the Trilateral Commission, Professor Sutton's book. This is not one that Patrick wrote. This is one that was written subsequently. And then we have, of course, Professor Sutton's book on the Federal Reserve System, Federal Reserve Conspiracy. Important books. You need to get them. You need to read them. You need to read Professor Sutton's books on Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, Wall Street and FDR, because, of course, Wall Street's been behind all of these things. But behind them is this vast conspiracy. What is the conspiracy? Well, we carry Gary Allen's little book, None Dare Call It Conspiracy. Now, you want to get the big volumes. We have certainly Professor Quigley's Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, or you can get the Tragedy and Hope special with the book Foundations, Their Power and Influence, going into how the great foundations have been working to push and finance communism for the last, 75 years. And this book, Foundations, Their Power and Influence, was suppressed for many years. And with that, you'll get, A Tragedy and Hope special. We'll get the interview with Professor Quigley, where he talks about the emblem on the back of the dollar bill, that all these crazy right-wingers think is an emblem of the Illuminati, and it isn't. It's been around for 5,000 years, and that is true. It has been around for 5,000 years. So what's it doing on the back of the American dollar bill under the caption, In God We Trust? What God are they talking about? Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's so much information here, and we do hope that you'll want, of course, to go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, that you'll want to get Professor Sutton's book on the Trilateral Commission, on the Federal Reserve Conspiracy, on the Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, Wall Street and FDR. We have this information, and we have Gary Allen's book, None Dare Call It Conspiracy. We have John Stormer's little book, None Dare Call It Treason. These are classic books, and we have them because we want you to have the background so you can understand what's going on today. And then, of course, you need to get our material on what's happening financially, our book on the history of money, what you should know, on prophetic warning, on Jackson, Andrew Jackson's farewell address. It's five newsletters. What he said is so true. Because he said the banks are going to try to take over America. That was 1837. Ladies and gentlemen, they control America today. I mean, the Federal Reserve, the central bank, controls the executive branch of government. And of course, the central bank is controlled by the major banks. They own the stock, and it's a private corporation. And now, why the Obama administration's come up with a new financial bill to massively expand the control of the federal banks so they can control the financial institutions of this country. Ladies and gentlemen, the banks control the Federal Reserve. They're going to control the banks. And do you think that they're going to give you a fair shake? Of course not. They're going to enrich themselves, but even more than that, they have an agenda, and that is a one-world government, a one-world religion, a one-world leader. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is RadioLiberty.com, and you can watch our DVDs. You can certainly read our newsletters. You can listen to our programs there on the Internet. And, of course, if you don't have the Internet, you can listen on shortwave or you can listen on satellite. And then tell others about our program. Get them to begin making preparations for the very difficult times that lie ahead. If you need information on food storage or Berkey water filters, our number 1-800-544-8927.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. Today is Monday, 18 October 2010. You're in the right place. You're supposed to be here. We want you to be here. We need you to be here, and we thank you very much for caring about making a difference one person at a time. Today, we're going to fill in the financial blocks. You're going to be able to see why it is that we have the system that we have, that is so-called money system, why it's not working, and most of all, what can be done about it. Bill Still will join us today. Many of you have already seen The Secret of Oz. I am so thrilled we have The Secret of Oz to hand to someone who doesn't understand the system. My copy is going to a bank president that I know, good friend of mine, graduated with him in high school. He is going to be getting a copy of this for sure. We're going to answer questions like, which president actually did pay off the national debt? What is the defect in the Constitution that causes all of our problems? Why was Lincoln really shot? What is the real cause of depression? Those are, and also, why was President Garfield assassinated? Those are just a few of the questions. Now, if you wanted to know why the Wizard of Oz, why Mr. Baum did what he did in that movie, you'll find out. It is incredible. Having come from Kansas, man, what an experience. In other news, there is an enormous new ring developing on the sun. Now, what does that mean? Can't tell you. Of concern to a lot of people. But right here, in this country, we're concerned about the foreclosure fraud. And guess what? CNBC Network is reported that Congress is going to retroactively legalize foreclosure fraud. Now, as you all know, we're experiencing something called a moratorium on the fraud. In other words, they did the fraud. They're trying to find a way to back out of it now and then back into it legally. It's not good. Well, CNBC says they're going to make it go their way. And I tell you, thought it from day one. That's why I didn't get people excited about this moratorium on foreclosures. Do your pets have spiritual experiences? That's a question asked by Jonathan Benson. And here's a warning for you. Do not eat plant fertilizer. We'll tell you why. There's always something to be watching for children to make sure they're not doing this and not doing that. Department of Homeland Security memo, assassins headed to Arizona with orders to kill. North Korea is banging the war drum again. And the government says scientific consensus is that MSG, GMOs, and aspartame are good for you. Can it be? Black is white. Black is white.
black is white, and you will believe black is white. Now, here's one of the stories I'm really looking forward to covering today. It's not, let's say it's not one of the most important, but you know what? Why is it the McDonald's Happy Meals will not decompose? They're Happy Meal hamburgers. What's the real story here? Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit later, because I think that is important to understand why they don't go away. Why does real meat rot and non-real meat doesn't? Maybe that gives you a little bit of a hint. If you're watching the news today, you're just hearing about more